Everyone, welcome to this morning's service, which is being led by Rosemary Gray, who we extend a very warm welcome to. There are a few Sundays for after the service coffee, which has got no names on. There was nobody on for today, and Sylvia kindly volunteered to do this morning's. So if you do feel like you can't put your name down, please do, else there won't be any coffee after the services. There is quite another few notices on the sheet, but I won't bother reading them out because you've all got the notice sheet. So would you please now join with me in the prayer for today at the top of the notice sheet. Let us pray. Loving God, as we meet for worship this morning, guide those who will lead us, all those with whom we share this time, and all God's children everywhere. Amen. We will now sing our call to worship hymn number 24, Come, Now is the Time to Worship.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's so lovely to be with you this morning. I've got two microphones and they're all blisting against each other, sorry. It's been such a long time, I was just saying to people, since I've been here, but I do recognise some lovely familiar faces. And those who don't know me, please come and say hello to me in the coffee afterwards. And today we're going to be singing and thinking about two themes, the love of God and how much we trust God. And so I know in this fellowship, I do hope, you know, that you have had that love through this long and difficult time of all the isolation. There are ways, aren't there, of keeping in touch, and it's wonderful that we are part of that body of Christ and that we can be together today in our service again. So we're going to sing of that wonderful love in number 443. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. So now we come to our introductory prayers. Let us pray to our Father God. Let's pray. Loving and living God, once more we bring you our praise and our worship. We acknowledge you as our God. We recognize your greatness and your power. And we marvel at your love and compassion. So we come before you now in awe and wonder. Living and loving God, draw near to us and help us to draw near to you. Come to us through your Holy Spirit and help us to open our hearts to the risen Christ. Speak to us through the worship that we offer you today, and through that, deepen our faith. Living God, we praise you that there is so much that speaks to us of your love and your presence. So much in our lives, in our daily experiences, in the fellowship we share with one another, and in the relationship we enjoy with you, through which you teach us and guide us and challenge us. Forgive us that we sometimes do not hear your voice, that often we do not want to hear. Forgive us that sometimes we refuse to listen, that often we are closed to anything but our own words. So open our hearts to all the ways that you are at work. Open our eyes that we may glimpse your purpose more fully. Open our ears so that we may hear you and your voice speaking to us more clearly. Open our minds to receive your truth more completely. Help us to see everything that points to your activity in our lives, in our fellowship, in your church, and in the world. Speak through to us as we work and as we witness for you. And may your words be our words, so that others may come to know you for themselves. Amen. And now let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Right, I see, I'm coming away from the lectern now. Does the microphone still work? I see we have three lovely children with us this morning. So I'm going to ask them to come forward in a moment. But what I want you to do for me is to bring with you somebody who you trust. Now, do you know what it means to trust somebody? Do you have anybody you trust? Well, that's a big word, isn't it? It's somebody you love very much, and somebody probably that loves you. So I would like each of you to bring with you an adult and come and stand at the front. Is that very difficult? And then we're going to sing together. But we're going to do a little exercise first. This is one, right? One little boy, this is, you're going to stand there. That's Peter, I've got it. No, he has to stand, it's very important.
Oh, you have to stand.
Yes, and is David going to come too? Can you bring Mummy? And I've forgotten this little girl's name, sorry.
Adeline.
You stand, are you going to stand on the other side? Right. We've got a little exercise about trust here. Now, you've decided that you trust your mummy and you've decided you trust your daddy, right? Very important people in your lives, aren't they? I hope. Now, well, what I want you to do is I want you to turn and put your back to your daddy and put your back to your mummy and step, take one step forward each, or parents can take one step back. Not too far, mind daddy. Because there's a very important job now. I'm going to ask you not to look at your loved mummy and daddy, but to just fall back. Now, just wait a minute. Let me explain the rules. You're not allowed to look behind, okay? You have to just think about who you trust. And the thing is, do you think they will catch you if you fall over? Do you think they'll just walk away? Actually, they might just walk away, mightn't they? They've had enough of catching you today. Do you think they might not catch you? It's a very big thing to trust somebody, isn't it? So you have to, let's count to three, Mummy and Daddy, right? Now, all I want you to do is to show that you love these two lovely people so much that you would catch them. Even if they fell over. I mean, do you ever fall over?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes. And Mummy or Daddy will catch. But this is an exercise in deciding whether that you trust them enough and they love you so much that they will catch you. So don't look behind you and just decide, I'll count to three, and then you have to fall backwards and hope and pray that they will catch you. Are you going to try this, David? No. No. You can try it just here. You wouldn't trust anyone. Right, so we'll just do it with two. You trust your mummy a lot, yes, I'm sure you do. Now, Mummy and Daddy ready to catch when I say catch. So it's ready to fall after three. One, don't look back. Two,
And then you're ready to fall. Three. Fall over. Fall over backwards. Well, that one fell forwards. That was a bit difficult for Daddy. He was behind you. Let's try one more time. We practiced that one. That was a practice. Now we've got to fall backwards. You did that very well. Yes. So fall backwards and hope and pray that they will that you trust them enough to catch. Ready? One, two, three, go! Whee! That's wonderful. You do trust them and you do love them so much, don't you? Well done. Now we're going to sing a song which needs some action. So let's have a line of adults as well, please, because I can't remember all the actions. This is the song about our great big God. When the adults are allowed to sing, but watch the children do the actions. Oh, there's somebody taking a photograph here. Is that your daddy? Oh, did you get her on video? Being caught, I hope so. So now we're going to sing, and you're doing the actions. It's number 61, if you don't know the words. You know the words to Our God is a Great Big God. Shall we just practice the actions? So it starts off, Our God is up here. So we're pointing. Our God is a great big God. Do that, great big God. We do that three times. And then we say, He holds us in His hands. Hold us, that's right. And then we say, He's higher than a skyscraper. And then you pinch your nose. Deeper than a submarine. That's the action for the submarine. Imagine you're in a submarine. And then he's so wide like this. You hold your arms right out. Can you remember? It's so long since we've done this. He's wider than the universe. That's a very big God. And beyond our wildest dreams. Okay. Trudy knows the actions better than I do. So there's something to do with wildest dreams. Yes. And then he's known me, and he's loved me since before the world began. And then we just dance for the last bit. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Do you not know that one? Oh, well, we've got to teach it. So you sing the words loud, and the children are learning. Are you ready? Oh, we're going to stand down here. Stand along here, then. We'll show the people the actions, because we have to do the action bits. Do it in the row. Join in here. That's right. Are we ready? Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. He's higher than the skyscraper, deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, beyond our wildest dreams. And He's known me, and He's loved me, since before the world began. How wonderful it is to be part of God's amazing plan. Okay, very good. Thank you. Lovely to see you all. Aren't they lovely? We're so blessed to have three lovely children. We love having you. So are they going to go out? You've got Sunday school? Enjoy. Good boy. And you've got some colouring stickers to take. Mummy's got some stickers. Oh, you made what, darling? Oh, the popping. Good boy. Have fun. Oh, don't forget, one more. Oh, they shut the door on you. Uh-oh. Lovely to see them this morning. Well, we all know, don't we, what it means to trust a friend or even a relative. But do we trust in God? Even in our darkest times, when everything else seems to fail us, he's the one that we can rely on, and he's there for us,
And so, as the Psalms often do, we're going to begin with some comfort and some calm that we can read. When everything else fails, we turn, I do anyway, to the Psalms, and I think that we can get great comfort from what we read about trusting in God. And somebody's going to read this for me. I've forgotten who. Oh, hello. I'll sit over here. Thank you. The destiny of the wicked and of the good. Don't be worried on account of the wicked. Don't be jealous of those who do wrong. They will soon disappear like grass that dries up. They will die like plants that wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and be safe. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will help you. He will make your righteousness shine like the noonday sun. Be patient and wait for the Lord to act. Don't be worried about those who prosper or those who succeed in their evil plans. Don't give in to worry or anger. It only leads to trouble. Those who trust in the Lord will possess the land, but the wicked will be driven out. Soon the wicked will disappear. You may look for them, but you won't find them. The humble will possess the land and enjoy prosperity and peace. The Lord saves righteous men and protects them in times of trouble. He helps them and rescues them. He saves them from the wicked because they go to him for protection. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. I've got your name now, Heather. I'm sorry, I don't know that. Nice to see you. So we're going to sing again about the faithfulness that we can trust in God. Number 51, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And so now we come to our second reading from Luke's Gospel, about loving our enemies. And June is going to read that one for us.
Taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 38. But I will tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who ill-treat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit the other one too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks you for something, and when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you want them to do for you. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those from whom you hope to get it back, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be sons of the Most High God, for he is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. Amen.
Thank you, Jo. I'm going to move now into the pulpit.
Others wanted here too. Very well organised.
Excuse me a moment. I've got to move the furniture.
Oh, a bit elevated. I can see you all better now. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Good, good. Well, this sermon about loving our enemies takes a bit of digesting, really. Growing in our walk with God, the religious leaders were beginning to breathe down hard on the neck of Jesus as he spoke. And they were calling into question virtually everything that he did. Instead of retaliating, Jesus told his disciples, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Wow, this is not an easy thing to do. Well, of course, there are several words for love in the Greek language. Eros being the one about romantic love, Philias being sort of a brotherly kind of love, and agape being the unmerited love, which is what the kind of love that we're talking about today, an unmerited love to love our enemies. And of course, God loves us in the same way. Whatever we do, he's there for us. So it's a deliberate love that chooses to love despite any reaction from the other person. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's this supernatural kind of love that supersedes what might be natural for us to love. And I know I struggle with this kind of love, and you probably do as well, for it's not natural. It's much easier for us to want to get back at somebody if they've hurt us. But as learners of and disciples of Christ, he doesn't want us to do that. The only way to do it is to experience that supernatural agape kind of love. And the only way that's going to come into our personal relationships is to allow Jesus to love you, to heal you, to deliver you, and to make you whole. That's why we spend so much time on this, because it's very important, not just for you, but for others as well, those people who don't yet know Jesus. You can try to explain Jesus's kind of love, but the reality is it's not easy at all to explain it. You can't really argue and discuss and debate and demand that somebody should understand what it's about. It's because it's about a relationship with God. And that's why Paul says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Be in a relationship. And the only way for people to understand this kind of love is to see it, to feel it, and to experience it. And the way that God has chosen to show and reveal himself is through each one of us. We are Christ's ambassadors, and as though God were making his appeal, it's through us, his ambassadors. Jesus said, I have a new command for you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
And that kind of love is so radical and so revolutionary and so unconventional that it has turned the world upside down. And agape love reaches out to neighbours and opens up the family of God to the lonely, to the hurting, to all who are seeking the genuine and tangible love of God. And it reaches out to the rich and the poor and all in between. This kind of love even encircles our enemies. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, as it says in Romans. William Barclay, that great exponent of just explaining the Bible, said that the Christian's only method of destroying his enemies is to love them into being his friends. Love them into being friends. And I don't know if anybody's seen, we've had something from the pastoral, what's it called, the chaplaincy, about Friendly February. That's what we're in at the moment, Friendly February. And for every day of February, it gives you something to do in terms of loving people. I won't give you every single day, but the first one, send a message to let someone know you're thinking about them. Ask a friend how they've been feeling recently. And it goes on. Organise a tea break with a colleague or a friend. Make time to have a friendly chat with a neighbour. And there's one thing for every day of the week in February to be friendly, which is showing love to our neighbours. I thought that was rather good and helpful. So being a disciple of Jesus is so much more than coming to church on a Sunday. It's about knowing Christ, becoming more like him. It's learning about Jesus and then about permitting the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out. It's about loving the Lord in such a way that we are transformed by that love. So how do you love someone that you disagree with? Loving others while disagreeing with them at the same time is possible. With 8 billion people in the world, I've not lost count, but there's a lot of people in the world, there's no one who will completely agree with you on everything. No one at all. Our viewpoint on social injustices, politics, current events, and religion is uniquely our own. Even in our differences, though, I do believe we should and can find common ground. And this is how we learn to love, to respect, and to empathize with people, by speaking with grace and gentleness. Even though we're all different, we can still love others. Why is it important to love people when we clearly don't see eye to eye with them? Because Jesus said so. He said, "A new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another," in John 13. And when Jesus commanded us to love others, he didn't say that we had to agree with them first. So what does that kind of love look like? Love considers others first. Love looks for the best in people. And love shows respect. Love seeks unity. Love is not selfish. Love offers the best we can. And love displays patience, which some of us can run out of. Loving others sometimes involves pain, because love means giving of ourselves. Love means putting your heart out, and someone may potentially wound you. Love means being selfless and thinking about the needs of those other people before we think of our own. We'll never love someone without discomfort accompanying it. It isn't easy. Sometimes it feels unnatural. But loving others is something we're called to do as followers of Jesus, and even those we disagree with, especially those we disagree with. There will always be things we have to agree to disagree on. And it could be the way we do our finances. Some of us would choose to live debt-free, others don't. It could be when we decide to start or end our day. Some of us are early to bed, while others stay up late. Or it could be more serious things, differences in politics, in social issues, or current events. Loving others while disagreeing with them at the same time is possible. And there's lots of advice in the Bible about, which is practical, I think, and I like the fact that we can read in the Bible practical pointers of how we should help to love each other in dealing with people. First of all, it suggests we should be respectful. To show respect to someone means that we esteem them, even if we don't agree with them. We can still treat them respectfully. It's not about feeling respect, it's about showing respect. If you want to learn how to respect others, try spending some time with someone you disagree with. Showing respect when we think someone else's viewpoint or belief system is completely wrong can be quite challenging. I suggest we also should ask questions respectfully. When we ask questions respectfully, we open a doorway to learning why. Why someone believes what they do. Try asking, how did you come to that belief? We respect others by showing them respect in the way we ask and also answer questions. Don't say anything in a mean sort of way. Disagreeing with someone isn't a huge deal, and it's easy to deal with if the situation doesn't get heated and out of hand. We'd get bothered, don't we, when someone doesn't see a situation or have the same viewpoint as us. So we should need to consider how we would like to be treated for different opinions and say, okay, we can agree to disagree on that point, but let's leave meanness out of it. Don't have any meanness in our relationship. Just agree to disagree. Avoiding arguments isn't easy, is it, in life? And most arguments really are quite pointless. We only have so much energy each day, and to give it away in wasteful time arguing about something means we have nothing left to those to give to those closest to us. You might say we're always arguing and that will spoil a relationship. Oh, I need them to hear my point of view. Why? To win the argument? To sound smarter? We can't change people all the time. We can only change ourselves and be in control of how we respond. So I suggest we should not let argumentative people dictate our actions. If the other person just wants to argue, then asking questions isn't really worth our time. If someone in your life, whether they're a family member or an acquaintance, is just trying to annoy you, I suggest you consider walking away. Let me tell you, I have found this advice particularly helpful in a heated situation that I have personally with my own brother and his dear wife. Walk away. Don't you know it? As followers of Jesus, we should set the standard for respect because of who Jesus is in our lives. He doesn't force us to follow, and as we show people respect in how we treat them, we can trust that God is working in the situation. I do trust in God. It's going to take a long time to sort my brother out, but there you go. We all have issues. Another thing we can do, we can show people empathy. Now, most people have heard of the word sympathy, but simply put, sympathy is when we have common feelings, don't we? We feel their sadness, maybe because we've been there. We have pity for someone else, and we can sympathise. But the word empathy has a slightly different meaning, with similar beginnings to sympathy, but it's a little bit different. With sympathy, you might be suggesting that you're actually feeling what they're feeling because you've felt it yourself. But empathy implies that you have the capacity to imagine the feelings of someone else. You haven't actually felt them for yourself. It might be quite easy to sympathise if you've been there and walked that way. But empathy requires a bit of work on our part. It's definitely not something that most people grasp or do. But in order to navigate difficult relationships with people with whom we don't see quite eye to eye, we have to work at empathy. It is an important quality. Part of that involves listening, I think. Listening and taking time to hear other people out. We value them by showing love and respect as we truly listen to them. We can learn why they believe what they do, and that helps us to get a glimpse into their lives. And it's important to truly listen. Think about what you hear the person saying. The thing you want to look for in this kind of scene is that the two people come together valuing each other more than caring about being right all the time. When we encounter people with a belief that's not really the same as ours, we must understand that we're representing Jesus. We might be the catalyst that God is using to change their lives. Often when people disagree with us, our anger rises, doesn't it? And we want to defend our own beliefs. It's in these moments where we can and should speak the truth, but allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. When we walk according to the Spirit's leading, we'll show his fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Loving people because Jesus called us to, showing respect by avoiding fruitless arguments, and empathizing with others to see life from their perspective, these are all wise and helpful approaches. It might seem a difficult task to put our differences aside, but it isn't. At the end of the day, the point of loving people we disagree with is unity, whether the issue is petty or prominent. We can choose people first. Whether the issue is upsetting or difficult, we must choose people first. And as followers of Jesus, he wants us to tell people that he is our Lord, and that if there's a way to start, let's represent Jesus so well that others want to know him too. In this reading that we've had from Luke, the last bit of it, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into you. For you, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Given the fact that we often fail to live up to Jesus' commands, what do we need? I know what we need. We need God's mercy and forgiveness and pardon. If you need that too, therefore Jesus says, be merciful, judge not, condemn not, and forgive. If you do not judge your neighbor's moral failings, then you won't be judged for yours. If you do not condemn your neighbor for their flaws, then God will not condemn you for yours. If you forgive others for their sins against you, then God will forgive you for your sins against him. So when it comes to judgment, what you give is what you get. It's what Jesus says. And the examples which Jesus provides to illustrate the word love are not directed at feelings, but actions. Jesus calls us to love, but that doesn't mean we have these warm and fuzzy feelings for someone. Instead, we are to act in ways calculated to benefit the other person, to make that person's welfare our concern. Jesus commanded in verse 31, as you would like people to do to you, do exactly to them. I like to think of this as a golden rule. Jesus says we're not only to avoid behavior that we wouldn't want to experience, but we are to practice behavior that we would want to experience. And that is a much more active and dynamic thing. For with the same measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. In verse 38, God will measure us for his kingdom with the yardstick that we used to measure our neighbours. Amen. Now let's come to God in prayer. God of grace and joy, give us the gift of generosity, that we may reveal your love and forgiveness, and live in fellowship and peace with each other as we work for the coming of your kingdom. Lord, you are our delight and our joy, and we seek to reveal your grace and your goodness. Make us slow to anger and not too ready to condemn. We pray that your church may be open and welcoming to all in need. We pray for churches that are working to heal divisions and hurts. God of love and hope, give us your peace. We remember all who have hardened themselves to isolation or become insensitive, all who are afraid of being moved or touched, those who are afraid of close contact, especially through this difficult time of the COVID epidemic. We give thanks for our homes and our loved ones. And we pray for their peace, that we may have peace in our communities and in our lives. And now we pray for the people of Ukraine and all the troubles facing that country at this difficult time. God of love, give us your peace. And we remember with love all who are struggling at this time, all who realize that they are perishable beings through illness or disability, and all who are suffering from a breakdown in relationships. May they be strong in the Spirit and strong in the Lord. We pray for the people affected by recent storms, people who've lost power and people who are hungry and cold. We pray for all those whose lives have been disturbed or distressed. We pray especially for friends that we know, people who are ill or in need. God of love and hope, give us your peace. We rejoice that in our God we are more than conquerors. In your power, O Lord, we will overcome all evil. We will triumph over death and rejoice in life eternal. So we pray for loved ones departed from us, that they may rest in peace and rise in glory. In your power, O Lord, give us your love and peace, and help us to trust you more and fix our hearts upon you, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so now we come to our final hymn. As we journey with God, we place our lives in his hands. All my hope on God is founded. Number 455. As we go out into the world, may we always seek to bring your love and peace to those people we meet. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.